you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 5. And if at all possible, we will conclude our study tonight in the book of Judges. We'll take us through chapter 7, in the third part of chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And that will conclude the system of Judges. And Sunday morning, we'll begin our study on the Kings. So, be reading ahead as we begin our study on the Kings. Notice, if you will, in the fifth chapter of 1 Samuel, it talks about, in verse 1, the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. Now, if you pick up your map that we've been looking at, you can find Ashdod at the bottom of the map over against the Mediterranean Sea, kind of offset of the tribe of Judah. In that particular location is basically Philistine territory. And so they have gone to battle against the children of Israel. And not only did they win the battle, but they took the Ark of the Covenant homeward. And notice, if you will, that's where the Ark was located. Now, we'll go a little bit further. Verse 2 says, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. And as Paul Harvey would say, I think most of you know the rest of that story. They took the Ark of the Covenant, brought it into the temple of Dagon, set it right beside their god, Dagon. And does anybody remember what happened the next morning when they went into the temple?
Dagon had fell on his face.
Dagon had fallen right on his face. Now notice, if you will, it doesn't really get a lot better. If you look in verse 6, it says, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them. He smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the Lord, with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel to Gath. You'll notice Ashdod on your map, right straight over, is the city of Gath. So it leaves Ashdod, it gets over to a place called Gath. Notice, if you will, it says in verse 10, they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people.
Sounds like they had already heard the news before the ark got there.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, notice it's tracking. They take it to Ashdod, over to Gath, and up to Ekron, that's right under, that's in the land of the Danites or It seems to me that word has spread about what's happening. And they really did not want to see it coming their way because they heard what had happened. And notice, if you will, it says in verse 11, they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction that throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy upon them, and the men that died not were smitten with the emrods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Now notice, if you will, if you start in the chapter 6. Still dealing with the Philistines. The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. And the Philistines called the priest and the diviner, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. So they're saying it's not going to be sufficient just to pack the ark of the covenant up and send it back into its own country, but you need to send a trespass offering along with it. Does anybody remember what this trespass offering consisted of?
Golden coins, golden rats.
Yeah. Golden rats and golden emeralds. They put it in the ark. Now notice, if you will, verse 4. They answered, 5 golden emeralds, 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. When you shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Preadventure, he will lighten his hand from off you and from off our gods and from your land. Wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians? And Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go that they departed? Now think how long it had been since they had let the children of Israel leave Egypt. And it's still familiar. Yes?
What is an emerald? I'm sure I should know.
I don't know.
It's a boil.
Yeah.
Mine says hemorrhoids.
Well, yeah.
It actually says hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
But I was trying to figure out how they make gold.
I'm gonna leave that discussion, David. You and Harold can get together.
I'll have to do a little research.
Do you see why I slid over that, Harold?
Yeah, well, I thought I was missing something, and everybody knows but me.
Now everybody knows. Here's how they got it ready to go. They made up a new cart, and they took 2 mulch kine on which there have come no yoke, and tied the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. Take the ark of the Lord, lay it upon the cart, put the jewels of gold which you return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. Now, does anybody remember how the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to
saved.
That's right. Now, they get by with it, the Philistines do.
Well,
because they send it all the way back on this cart. And followed the cart from afar, from behind, to make sure the cart stayed on track to get it back.
Is this the time they sent it to David?
Yes, and it got them in trouble there.
Yeah, well, it is a different time, isn't it?
A different time, but the same mark.
And remember,
if you will, it stayed in one location about 20 or 30 years or longer, maybe 40. David then decides he's going to bring it to Jerusalem. And he goes after the Ark of the Covenant, puts it on a new cart, and remember, if you will, the Ark shook. The priest touched it, and they died immediately. And David comes back, rethinks it, and says, wait a minute. We better see what the Word of God had to say about moving this ark. And they did it the correct way the second time. The Philistines got away with it. David did not in moving it. But you're right. Two times it was put on the cart. And one time it was a Philistine cart. Second time it was an Israelite cart prepared by David. Any yes?
Would you read the first part of your translation of verse 5?
Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon, nor any that came into Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day.
Okay, I'm seeing wrong. In 6.
Chapter 6, verse 5. Wherefore you shall make images of your emrods, images of your mice that mar the land, and you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Preadventure he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land.
When he was talking about how could they make him go, what is talking, they're saying they're making something, a likeness of.
Yes.
And mine says tumors.
Tumors? Yeah.
Likeness of tumors.
Yeah. Beginning in verse 6 of chapter 6. Wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians? Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go as they departed? Make a new cart. Get the two kind. Verse 8 says, take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart. Put the jewels of gold which you return for trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not in his hand that he smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. Now, did anyone take the time to see where Beth Shemesh is? It's at the top of the tribe of Asher. And notice, if you will, if you look right straight across, there's Asher and Naphtali. And Beth Shemesh is right there on the edge of Asher. Now look at the distance this Ark of Covenant has traveled. Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Beth Shemesh. Now notice what it says in verse 13. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. They lifted up their eyes, saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the ark came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels and the gold were, and put them on a great stone. And the men of Mishmash offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. So notice, if you will, they did not waste any time getting rid of the Ark of the Covenant and getting back where they came from. Does anybody remember what happened after this? Remember, if you will, the Levites took the Ark of the Covenant off of the cart. They did something they were not supposed to do, and I think he said it got about, 50,000 of them killed. It was a lot of them.
50,070 were killed by looking
into the ark.
Looking into the ark.
That's right.
They were plagued.
They certainly did. So, again, they knew better, but they couldn't resist the temptation. And they opened the Ark of the Covenant, looked into it, and a great plague came upon them. Now notice, if you will, after that, it says that in verse 5, Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water, poured it out before the Lord, fasted that day, and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Lord saw the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. And of course, Samuel, in verse 9, makes a sacrifice to God, petitions God, and what was the response from God to Samuel about the Philistines and the Israelites going to battle? He said, "Go back. Look what happened. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came to Bethlehem. Then Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of the place Ebenezer, saying, 'Hereunto hath the Lord helped us out.'" Is there not a song in the songbook? Something about my Ebenezer? And remember what the definition of Ebenezer is here? The Lord is our what? Rock. Help. Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 19. I got a notation. I don't know where they got the notation from, but it said chapter 6, verse 19.
Chapter 6, verse 19.
This notation says he struck 70 men, 50 oxen of a man. So that reads 50,000 and 70 men, but this note says he struck 70 men of the people and 50 oxen of a man.
Okay. And you say in your translation it's in...
What's the notation at the bottom?
Okay, you're looking at the bottom. Okay, okay.
Because it has an asterisk on it.
Okay.
It's a verse.
Okay.
So I don't know what...
All right, notice if you will. Verse 13. The Philistines were subdued. They came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored from Ekron even to Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Now, think about that. What does your translation say?
It says that Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
Did he literally judge Israel as a judge all the days of his life? Because what do we get into in chapter 8? The system of the judges comes to an end. The days of the kings begin. Samuel is still living in the days of the kings and was a prophet for Israel during Saul and the early times of David. So, sometimes when it talks about the end of his life or the end of a time, it means a duration. He judged until the time of the judges came to an end. And then he became a prophet. He was always a prophet and a judge. But after the judges came to an end, he was a prophet. Notice how it closes. Chapter 8. I think we got a couple of minutes. We'll catch it. Came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joab, and he goes on and names the sons. These sons, in verse 3, walked not in the way, but turned aside to lucre, to bribes, to perverted judgments. All the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel at Ramah, and said, "Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in your ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." So Samuel takes that before Jehovah God. Jehovah God tells him, Samuel, do exactly what they say. Give it to him. It's nothing against you as a judge. It's against me. They haven't rejected you, Samuel. In verse 7 it says, they rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And then he tells them, he says, you go and you tell them what's going to happen when they switch from the judges to the kings. And look what it says in verse 10 and following. He'll take your sons, in verse 11, appoint them for himself, for his chariots, his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and over fifties, and will set them to ear his crown, to reap his harvest, to make his entry. War and instruments of his chariots. To take your daughters to be cooks and to be bakers. You'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olives, the best of them, and give them to his servants. He'll take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give them to his officers, to his servants. In other words, he's going to tax the stew out of you. But look, if you will, what they said in verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. We'll pick up with chapter 9 on Sunday morning, and we'll begin our study of the kings. We'll look at the first three kings, and then we'll begin a study of the divided kingdom. Northern kingdom and the southern kingdom that started at the death of Solomon. Remember also, Samuel. at the kings, we need to look at the promise. First and second Chronicles go along with the kings. And so we'll pick up there on the Sunday morning.